Okay. And now please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. And we are in verse 5. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. Following our customary procedure, the next few moments will be dedicated to silent prayer. You have a few moments in privacy and freedom to prepare yourself in the usual manner for the study of the Word of God. This includes laying aside the cares and the concerns, the problems, and whatever else is a part of your busy day, and begin to now concentrate upon the objective at hand. And therefore, in preparation of our service this evening, let us pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we are grateful to have this opportunity to take advantage of your grace this day that has provided the open doors of communication, that has provided for us our sonship life through the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and his redemption for us. We thank you for that. We thank you for the Word of God that we hold in our hand, that we know we can trust it, have confidence in every word of it, that it is inerrant, infallible, it is accurate in every way, and it has the power to produce your very thinking within our inner man. We pray as we continue to finish out our understanding of the scope of what our education is going to be comprised of, when we get back to Romans here in Proverbs with this table of contents, we just pray that that will do its effectual job to give us the awareness of what we're getting into, that will give us in preview and of coming attractions as to the aims and the goals, the objectives of it all, that we might be measured by this curriculum as we advance in our spiritual walk with Thee. We thank You again for all these issues of Your grace that we are beneficiaries of, and pray for Your wisdom and understanding in the issues that we handle this evening, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, on the board behind me is the table of contents that is comprising what a son is going to be going through when he's properly educated and edified. And this is something that very few believers in Jesus Christ ever come to understand and appreciate. Usually after someone gets saved, that they are, when they come to believe that Christ died for them, was buried, and arose again, usually it's just kind of a turkey shoot from there until they die. And by that I mean you study the Bible sometimes when you can push it into your busy schedule, and usually the people who handle the Bible and teach it approach it in such a way that it's basically just study for study's sake. But we've come to appreciate, understand that there's something far more important involved in the way God not only created and designed your inner man, your human spirit and your soul, but the way that redemption provided so that you could be educated properly, edified properly, and that your life counts for something far more than just living life, dying and going to heaven and walking on clouds and living in a heavenly hammock. And so this sonship education is critically important because it's kind of the brass ring, the holy grail, so to speak, of all the kind of books that have been written and the way that the Bible scholars and teachers go about it to try to figure out what God's will is and figure out how we should be taught and all of these kinds of things. My understanding is I don't have to figure any of it out. God already wrote it. We have the privilege of now being able to look at it. And we're here in the book of Proverbs looking at the table of contents and really looking now at the final level that a son has taken. And the way your Father, your Heavenly Father, is designed to operate with you is with Him being your Father and you being His adopted son or adopted daughter. And when we got to Romans chapter 8, at the pinnacle of understanding the sanctification that God provided for us in Christ and who He made us to be in Christ, the very pinnacle of all of that is that He has adopted us as sons. And that's the way he's determined to operate with us. And he's provided a perfect education for that if we'll just follow it. And in order for us to gain an understanding that we should have had before we ever got to that part of Romans, we've had to come back into Proverbs and take a look at these six verses. Actually, we got five on the board from verse 2 through verse 6 of Proverbs chapter 1. That is the table of contents for a son's education, whether he is a member of the remnant of Israel under God's program with them, or whether he is one of us who is a member of the church, the body of Christ. And our apostle Paul is going to take this entire curriculum and follow it perfectly as you go through Romans 1:1 to the end of Philemon, actually to the end of 2 Thessalonians. Paul follows this exactly. He follows it point for point, form of doctrine for form of doctrine, and it's been amazing as we've looked at this over this past year. So when you come now to, once again, getting into our studies where we last left off on Sunday morning, let's once again read this six-verse section just to refresh ourselves a little on it, and then I might put you to work tonight. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." And once again, just to remind ourselves of this, this five-verse section that runs from verse 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 has titles to it. It has descriptive titles, I call them appellatives, that are markers that mark out the son's progress. And those markers are very important because they are actually the times in which that son moves to another level of his education and the way he's viewed by his father. First of all, as that simple son, and then he moves to the young man status in level 2. And finally, what we're dealing with is the wise man who is going to hear and increase knowledge. And finally, the man of understanding. And the way your Heavenly Father views the progress of your sonship growth, the very peak and objective of it all is to become a man of understanding. And that's understanding in a very particular context. So as you would expect with any table of contents, it's not real specific. It's general and it's broad, and it's natural for it to be that way. Our job and task is to be able to take these words that God uses to describe this overall table of contents of what we're to expect as sons as we go through His educational program, and define those things into a working definition that specifically has to do with not just hearing any old thing, or not just understanding any old thing, or not just knowing any old thing, but that they are very specific as we perceive what a son is to understand as he goes through this. And so I just wanted to do a little bit of review that way with you as we now really start dealing with the wise man and the man of understanding there. Let's go back to just looking at it once again with the levels and the phases to each level. Well, in fact, I think what I'll do is I'll just run over this one more with this chart one more time with you. When it comes to level 3, as we have seen, verse 2 through verse 4 is one, and actually verse 1 through 4 is one complete sentence. So these two phases, or these two levels, pardon me, really are thought of closely knit together. This, verse 5 and 6, level 3, what comprises that, what the wise man will hear, what the man of understanding is going to attain to, that is to be thought of as unique and set off by itself almost. Not that it is, but I'm going to use that. That's what I'm going to, how I'm going to describe it for now. And it's to be done that way so that you realize when you are a son, what you finish, when you finish the second level of this, when you get to be the young man and you're going to know something very particular, and then because of that, you're going to get the discretion that you're going to need to be able to make sure your reputation in your father's business, your name that you bear now, which is his name, and all of those aspects that we talked about, he's got to walk circumspectly. He's got to have the discretion so that he can see deeply into, take that subtlety that allows him to see far deeper into his Father's business than just, I'm going to be a part of the new creature of the church, the body of Christ, placed into the positions of authority in the heavenly places. But he sees more dimensions than that. And then he realizes he's got an adversary who has far more subtle tactics than he was ever aware of before. Once that is all in the young man's thinking, once he gets the knowledge and discretion, he is at that point, as he passes from level 2 to 3, he is a wise man. But now, just as in natural sonship life, you've got to think of it in terms of what's going on naturally with a son who gets to, he's no longer a teenager. He's now into his 20s, maybe his late 20s, and think about what's going on when that happens. Well, my understanding is sonship is actually patterned after the natural sonship educational development, especially the Hebrew methodology. It's a little different, not totally, but a little bit different from ours, because if you take a son's life from the time he's born until the time he dies, by the time he's 12 years of age, which we went to Luke and saw that Jesus was identified as being 12, he's adopted at the time appointed by the Father. That's why even today you still have bar mitzvahs. And that's an adoption. And by the way, a natural father with his natural son would adopt him. And he would adopt him so that he's now going to be brought out from under the tutors and governors and the restrictions that was placed upon him in childhood. And he's now going to be taken by the Father and taught personally by him to enter into business with him. He's going to begin thinking of his Father, to have his Father's heart imparted to him by his Father so that he lives the way he lives and then begins laboring together with him in his business, and so that one day he will actually be able to run that business. By the time he's 18... in the Jewish world, in the Hebrew world, a son was probably married by about that time. And roughly, that's about the time some of us get married. Not that we got married when we were 18. Today, in our culture, it's getting longer and longer, and there's some things that contribute to that. But even Mary, my understanding is Mary was a teenager when she married Joseph. And another thing that's different, a little different, is that you would expect children right away. And in our culture, we have methods and reasons for staving that off a while. In the Hebrew culture, and especially in their world, you may have a baby a year after you were married. It very frequently happened, which is why the man was supposed to be in a position to be able to provide for, protect his wife from the very beginning if they were to have children, that he could provide for them. But that's about the time of 18. But the finishing of a son's education really was extended until he was about 30 years of age. And when you, interestingly enough and not surprising, you see in the book of Luke, when Jesus begins his earthly ministry, Luke makes a point to say, and Jesus began to be about 30 years of age when he was baptized by John the Baptist and began doing exactly what a level 3 son would be doing. But I only bring this to your attention again so that you recognize that the levels, once again, are not cycles. And that's important for you to understand and appreciate. In other words, it's just like being in the military. I think that's a good a way to talk about it. If you are a full colonel, if you're a general, you should be expected to know the jobs, the job description, and what it takes from a second lieutenant all the way up through the ranks. First lieutenant, captain, major, lieutenant, colonel, all the way up. You know all of those jobs. You could perform them all. If you had to, you could go down and you could lead a platoon. You could lead a squad within a platoon. You could lead a battalion. You could lead a regiment. You could lead an army. You're to know all of those levels by the time you get the stars on your shoulder. Well, a son never, ever is going to lose what he's first taught in level 1. He's going to use it till the day he dies. That's different from the kind of education we provide, especially in government public school, where you learn something just to get through a test and then quickly forget it. Well, I'm going to chunk that. It's summer break. I'm not going to remember that when I get back to school. A son can't afford that because that's not the nature of the curriculum. When he goes into level two, he spends about another 12 years in that level before he finally gets to the point where he could be entrusted with his father's business without his father being around. Now, I know that there's a problem with that because God is omniscient and he is omnipresent, and we're never going to be completely divorced from him or anything like that. We're not going to be totally independent of him. But the point of it is that as a father, a real father with a real son, that's the level of maturity you should have by then. You should be able, if he wanted you to task you with going out and starting a satellite franchise of his business somewhere, you get it all up and running, and when he comes to see what you've done, he'll walk in there, he'll see every piece of equipment exactly in the place he would have it, he'll see it running exactly the way he would have it running, and it will every decision you make would be as if he made it himself. That's why Paul tells us that in Romans, when we get oriented to our sonship establishment, he's conforming us into the very image of his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why Christ, when he was teaching on this earth, could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There is no difference. The fact that the Pharisees looked at Jesus and then thought about God and couldn't see that they were exactly the same is because of the corrupted doctrine they had in their heart that was causing them to see through rose-colored glasses who God was in the first place. They were indicted for their rotten, corrupted doctrine, their biblical scholarship that gave them such a rotten view of God. So that when they saw Christ, they didn't even recognize him. But you are to be like father, like son in level two. He could put a shingle out and put father and son in business together. But something changes by the time you hit 30 years of age. You've already had children. By the way, let me show you something along those lines. You're in the book of Proverbs. Come over to chapter 5. This is one of the exhortations that occurs at the end of level 1. Now look where you are on the board. About what age would you be? 18. You're right in that 18 to 20 ballpark. And it's fascinatingly enough, so perfectly put together, we didn't go over this when we were going over the exhortations, but I just want to point this out. That's why as the son's going through his sonship education with his father, his natural age and development is occurring at the same time. And in a perfect world, they would occur together. That's not going to happen, but that's the way the Proverbs are laid out. And so when you would come to that point where you are nearing the end of level 1 and beginning level 2, you get an exhortation along these lines. Look at chapter 5 and come down and pick it up at verse 15. Solomon is exhorting David to the doctrine he's going to get, and he does it in this proverbial style where he starts talking about his family, his wife. And he says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. That's not just talking about getting real water out of your real well. That's talking about you keeping yourself to your wife. And I know that's proverbial. It has an application naturally, and it's good warning naturally, but it's also indicative of the way the policy of evil is going to try to allure and attract and deceive and to get you away from your natural love. Now watch what he goes on to say. He says, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and the rivers of water in the streets. Let them be thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. He says, you're married now, son. You stay with her. Don't be wandering around with some of these other dolls that come running around here. He says in verse 9, let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant roe. I don't have time to tell you what all that means. Go home and find out the excellency of that terminology. You ladies are going to say, I don't know if I like being compared to a hind and a roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? Not only physically and literally and naturally, but also with a policy of evil, as he's already been told, is that strange woman. and embrace the bosom of a stranger. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of sins. He shall die without instruction, and the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. And you get, all I'm after in that is that you see those match what's going on with him naturally, and as a proverb, they also have an application to what's going on with him spiritually. And that's why when you get level 2 doctrine, come over to chapter 22. One of the most famous verses you'll hear out of the book of Proverbs so often is Proverbs chapter 22, down in verse 6. You probably heard this, seen it on a refrigerator door magnet or something, but had no idea what it was talking about. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's doctrine for a level 2 son. What's happened now? He's got married, and in these chapters, he starts getting talked about his children. He's had children. And that's why you get that information down there, a lovely verse in verse 15 that so many people hate. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And he starts talking about disciplining his children. The only reason I'm bringing that up is that all of that starts being brought up as an issue of the son's children now. He's past the point of being married, he's had kids, and his kids are little, they're children. But by the time he gets to be 30, look how many years have transpired between the beginning of level 1, or level 2. At the end of level 1 to the end of level 2, about 12 years, matches the age of adoption. His son is now getting ready to be adopted by him. So then this next unique level occurred. It suddenly dawns on the son, I know this curriculum backwards and forwards. I know how to receive it. I know what the exhortations do. I've been exhorted. I know as a son exactly what this curriculum consists of, and I know where I've been, and I know what it's brought me to. But the one thing I don't know how to teach that to my own son. And that's what he's got to do in level 3. That's why it is standing off by itself. Because he now, the son now, becomes a father. And the wise man will hear. And he's going to increase learning. And so we talked a lot about this for several Bible classes so far. But that's what's going to happen for the remainder of his life. And everything he learned in level 1 and level 2 is going to be with him. But this last final issue that he's going to receive from his father isn't about getting educated myself as a son. It's, Dad, how did you do this? I don't know how you did it. How did you know when I was ready for this form of doctrine? What are the markers that you never told me about, but you were constantly watching for and listening for to measure me? How do I'm going to look at this whole curriculum again with my father in level 3. As a wise man, I'm going to need to hear from my father about how that education is to be taught. Not gaining more and more information so much as knowing what it means to reproduce this in the life of my son. And that's what level 3 is all about. So when it comes to this, we need to really begin now looking at some issues of, I suppose, nailing down some terminology now. And let's just focus our attention on that first phase that says a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And my understanding is that the wise man, as he hears, he's going to, as I said, hear that entire curriculum again from his father. But it's going to be from his perspective, not from a son receiving it, but from a father teaching it. And the entire curriculum for sonship edification is going to once again be gone over. His father sits the son down and he says, "All right, you know the curriculum, right? Right. All right, but you don't know how to actually produce this in the life of your son," which is always an amazing thing, because as any young man knows, his dad all of a sudden, if he's got a good one, this doesn't apply in every case, but all of a sudden, in the case of my father, as soon as Cindy and I got married, he became the wisest man in the world. And it was like, wow, I need to talk to you about some things we never talked about before. But the issue is, I'm not going to teach you this curriculum, son, for the purpose of you getting to be a better son. You are a faithful son now. You are an honorable and noble son. You're working in my business with me. I can put you into a position of, for us, principality, power, might, dominion, authority, thrones in the heavenly places, and have no doubt in my mind that you're going to be able to function out there with the angelic host, with all of those. You're going to do a great job. But the issue now, son, is can you reproduce this in the life of your son? And that's why we had to have, when we looked at all of this, David and Solomon. We have to see this pass on at least one time in order to get this fully in our understanding because of what level 3 does. So this is something that the son as a wise man not only needs, but I want to stress this in this Bible class a lot. He knows he needs it. And this is unlike any education you ever received, because it's perfect education. It's a perfect curriculum. The son knows he desperately needs to hear this body of information. I've got this boy who's no longer just a little boy anymore. He's 12 years of age. He's at the point where I can adopt him and begin training him myself, but I don't know how to do that. All I've ever known is how to be trained. I have not learned how to teach it to someone, how to reproduce it in his heart, how to set him down and exhort him properly and at the proper time. Know when his enthusiasm is going to wane and be able to exhort him and fan that flame back up and follow that curriculum along from your perspective, Father. That son now not only needs to hear that, but he knows as a level 3 wise man, he knows he has to have that. And he knows he desperately needs it in order to be able to teach it properly to his son. And you really have to get some appreciation for how the curriculum is designed. No man could have put it together this way. It's one of the marvels of the Bible that you hold in your hand and the power of that doctrine. It's designed with that kind of thing in mind. It has this natural need that occurs at the end of each level and each phase. To go back to that again, at the end of every level, at the end of every phase of every level, the doctrine is constructed in such a way and given in such a way, designed by God, so that it automatically produces, by the genius of how he put the curriculum together in the first place, it produces a natural need at the end of each level. And at the end of each phase within each level, and actually you can go deeper than that, all the way down to each individual form of doctrine and each component that comprises the forms of doctrine. But for now, just each phase and each level actually produce. When you get to the end of level 2, phase 1, you were a simple son, you're now a young man. But you know that you've got to have a body of information that this table of contents calls knowledge. And you know that it's a specific body of information, and you know you've got to have it. And once you get that, you are desperately in need of discretion. What is that body of knowledge that you get as a young man? What's it about? Yeah, it's about your conversation, which is what? What is your conversation? Your reputation. It's the fact that you've now caught the eye of not only your heavenly Father, who has been using this heavenly bullhorn up there, saying, "Have you seen?" Your heavenly Father loves to say, "That's my boy. Have you seen my boy? Have you seen my daughter?" Look at them. And he's broadcasting this. That's why it says that you're blessed in the heavenly, in all heaven, with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, as the book of Ephesians opens up. That's not just acquiring things called blessings. That's the well-speaking that your Father is doing in preparation for you taking positions in his business. And you've caught the eye of the adversary. And he sees that you are to be reckoned with now. And that reputation is made known in the books of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. It's called your conversation. There's a conversation and an impact, and you're making an influence in the heavenly places. You can't hear it. You can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't sense it. And the only way you would ever know it was happening was that your Father had to tell you about it on the pages of His Word. But you have to believe that. And it's really there. And that's what that's what we're getting ready for. I know that's very difficult, especially when you're young. You think you're getting ready for this job or that job or this occupation or that, which is great. You got to have one. But it's just a context and a framework in which your sonship life can be lived. What you're really getting prepared for and ready for are the demands and the rigors of eternal life with your Father and His business. Demands? Rigors? Well, I don't want any of that. I thought heaven was supposed to be work-free. Where did you ever get such an idea? Heaven isn't work-free. Heaven is when you for the first time engage in work with absolute love to do it. There's no sin nature involved any longer. You don't have the drudgery of the way work is looked upon here on this earth. But you want to be at work in your Father's business. And we've talked about some of those things. But there's demands that are going to be made on you. And you're getting ready for that. This is a vocational training course. And so when the son comes to the point where he's in level 3, he has to have an appreciation, like we have to have, for how each one of these phases, as he gets the knowledge, and you suddenly know you've got a reputation, what do you have to have next? I got to have discretion to maintain it, so that I don't get caught in an indiscretion by an enemy who would like to ruin my impact and influence I'm having in the heavenly places. And you have to realize discretion is I can be in an indiscretion in far more than just a sinful indiscretion. I could be involved in a spiritual indiscretion that all of my friends around me would pat me on the back for, that has just ruined my conversation in the heavenly places. Once that happens, the son now is a wise man who realizes, I've got a son of my own. He's now at the age of adoption and ready to begin the education. And the problem is, Father, I know I've been through the education, but I don't know all of the, this is a terrible word to use, but all of the secrets, all of the things you didn't tell me about, that you didn't have to tell me about, that only a father knows to be able to reproduce this in my son. And so each one of these aspects of this curriculum is already designed in the genius of God so that it actually produces in the son an understanding and appreciation before he ever gets there for why he needs the next thing. If this is done properly, and if I teach it properly, because as a pastor, I have to teach it as a father, we should never come to a section in God's Word where you would be out there scratching your head saying, why do I need this? Which is what happens in almost every high school in America when they are said, you got to have this course. Why? I want to be a milkman, or I want to be a plumber. Why do I need calculus? There's a lot of superfluous teaching that goes on today because of that. Not as much as you would think, but it's still there. It's very imperfect. But what I'm after is that doesn't happen in this. You have already produced in you the why. You know why you need the next thing coming up in the curriculum. That's one of the reasons you get a table of contents. You know in advance what's coming up, what you're in for, so to speak. And it generates within the son the desire and necessity of getting it to the point of almost where he comes to take his father and demand it. You've got to give me this now. And so this feature of the way the curriculum is designed to generate that in the son, his seeing of his need for the next thing in the curriculum, the effectual working of level one and the effectual working of level two has brought the son now to this deserving appellative. He's now a wise man. And the truth of the matter is, you should be able to define that, not me. What is, in that context, I'm not talking about a wise man like you'd say, well, some idiot, the Dalai Lama is a wise man. He is not a wise, he's a slick individual, but a wise man can be wise in a lot of contexts. What we're after is, I've talked a lot about this in the natural sonship life and those kinds of things, and I wanted to see what you could come up with. There are no wrong answers. Don't just relax. I'm not putting you under the microscope. But the truth of the matter is, from what I've just said and the preparation that I've been doing over the last two or three Bible classes to get you to see that everything in this level is coming out of the first two, you should be able to come along and not just be able to take the word wise and define it and man and define it, but come up with a working definition that fits that context of a level three son in godly sonship edification. And you should be able to do that all on your own. So if you were to say what is a wise man as he begins level three, what is he? He's a teacher. He knows he's got to be a teacher. Yeah, but the operative word you just used there was he's going to be. He's not yet. A wise man, let's keep it in the order in which it's given in God's Word. He's a wise man as he successfully ends level two. Now that's the key to understanding what a wise man is. Yeah, he's a graduate of level two, but he hasn't yet heard from his father. So he can't increase learning in his son yet until he hears. Then he can increase learning. But I'm backing that up. Let's forget about what he hears. Forget about him increasing learning. What comprises the wise man's status? Okay. being a simple son plus a young man. All right. Now what you need to do is you need to go into that a little further, because and we're not after a lot of things, but just a couple of key points that would give us that doesn't just let us fly off into all kinds of directions, but narrows the scope of this to what our Father's after when He gives you that promotion and gives you that magnificent appellative. You now, my son, are a wise man. You now know this, or you now are this, and you need to fill in those blanks. How would you do it? He is. That's good. He's fully educated. I'm just curious to see if this is working. I'm not looking for pass failure here. I'm just looking to see if this is actually working in you. Yeah, he's a functioning, fully functioning, honorable, noble, faithful son. What is he? I'm after you to tell me some of the things that are characteristics of a wise man. Yeah, and he knows about it. See, now you're. What else does he have? He's a mature believer. But you're going right down the line because you're starting to think about the curriculum. That's what I'm forcing you to do. I'm not after you to come up with a ding 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 of a word that I am. What I'm after is I'm trying to see where your thinking is. I want to see you, I don't want you to regurgitate what I say. And you're going right down the right line. That's good. That's right. He's gotten a body of knowledge that's made him aware of his conversation, the impact, the influence. And what else does he have? He has discretion. He's a young man who can, and with discretion, what's that give him the ability to do? Yeah, he can now make decisions far greater than even what? The decision-making skills he got in level one, which was what? Well, I'm talking about level one, the wisdom, the knowledge, or the wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. He can do all of that. Plus, he has, you mentioned the subtlety. What is the subtlety cure? The simpleness. It cures that one-dimensional aspect of thinking, that sophomoric attitude and bravado of, hey, I know some things. Yeah, but you know just enough to be dangerous. And you're one-dimensional. You still the subtlety cures that. And that's see what you're doing is, and I'm not putting it on the board because I'm forcing you to think about it. You have to think your way through. And the reason I'm doing this with you is because you're going to find as we go through the epistles of the Apostle Paul, when we get back to Romans 8:14 and we start going through Romans and we start going through all of his letters, each form of doctrine is paving the way for the next. So that you not only in advance know why you need that, but when you come to get it, you can articulate what you are at that point. You're going to have to look in a mirror and face yourself and say, I'm a level one son, or I'm a level two son, or I know exactly where I am in this curriculum, and be honest with yourself about it. Because one of the things you're going to have to do when it comes to the point of getting being a man of understanding and attaining unto wise counsels, understanding dark sayings, is that you can actually, as a father yourself, counsel a weaker brother, and you can, without telling him about it, or without shoving it down his throat, or without embarrassing him, you know by what's coming out of his mouth where he is and how to deal with him. And that's what Paul talks about when he talks about a local assembly functioning and being mutually edifying. Edifying one another in love. The mutual edification that uses the sonship curriculum as its base of operations. With level three sons and level two sons, knowing what they're doing. So that's good. See, what I'm trying to get you to do is to think through the curriculum. What is a wise man in that context? Anything else that leaps to mind? How about his father's business? I mentioned that. Does he need to know anything else about how to run it? Basically, no. He can run it. What's the other side of the coin that comprises his wise man status? His father's business is only one side of the coin. There's always both sides of the coin. What's the other side? What's the other side that subtlety did for him? The adversary. Right? He not only can fully function in his father's business, but by the time he ends level two, by the time he gets through the young man stage and becomes the wise man, he has gone through Ephesians chapters 4, chapter 5, chapter 6. He has the full armor of God. He knows the wiles of the adversary so well that he is not going to be caught by surprise. He's not going to be outflanked. He's not got an exposed area. He knows exactly how that adversary and his tactics are going to function against him. He knows it in advance. He's prepared in advance, forewarned and forearmed. And like I said, and I hesitate to say this every time I say it because it sounds like Mark's just flipped his lid. And it sounds insane at this point. But you go through a three phases of doctrinal advancement when it comes to that adversary and suffering under the sufferings of Christ. You go through the first phase where the doctrine works to make you willing to endure the sufferings of Christ. Then you go through another advancement of a body of information that makes it so that you rejoice in the sufferings of Christ. That sounds weird enough. But in the final analysis, and you can see it with the Apostle Paul, you can see it with others who endured the sufferings of Christ, the point of death, you come to the point where you want the sufferings of Christ. That just sounds Looney Tunes. But you don't understand, and you should know that by getting the sufferings of Christ, those things are going to work to make you more than a conqueror. That you can take those things and turn those things so that they are now an advantageous for you, and actually without them you couldn't have advanced as far as you will advance. That's being more than a conqueror in Christ. That's part of what that wise man status is about. Well, good. I think it was good that we did that, even though we got a little group. But I want you to thinking within the stream of what that curriculum is producing, and we've got enough now to where you should be able to identify what a wise man is in that context. Now I'm going to tell you what my definition is, and I'm not going to put it on the board either. You could take the word hear and tell me what he's going to hear. He's heard tons of things. He's heard thousands and thousands and thousands of things from his father. But what he's going to hear here, there's the beauty of the English language. What he's going to hear here, he's never heard before. And once he does that, he will increase learning in his son when he is able to reproduce that in his heart. And once the father sees his son doing that, he gets one more raise in rank. He says, now, son, you don't just see this from the bottom side. You don't just see the curriculum as a son receiving it. You've done that great. You're an A-plus student, and you've graduated, and you've passed everything. But now you've moved topside, and you can look down upon it as a father, as I did to teach you. You see it from below, and you see it from above. You are now you understand what this thing is all about, because you've seen it from both sides. Even if you never get the chance to reproduce it, you still could. And that's what a saint today has got to carry in his inner man, the ability and the capacity to do that when he achieves that man of understanding. And then he says, son, there's only one more thing you need. And he's going to give that to him where he attains unto wise counsel. Well, let me give you what I wrote when I tried to pull all of these facets together to describe the wise man. The wise man, and you just listen to this casually is fine, but just listen for things. I'll put it up there now. We'll put the put this up here so you can, your eye can catch these. If you don't have your Bible, you can catch. Okay, you'll see things almost in your mind will highlight on the board. Not that they really will. I'm not that good with PowerPoint. This is what I wrote. The wise man is wise in the sense of having all of the wisdom contained in level 1 and level 2 of sonship edification effectually working within his inner man. And it's that kind of wisdom being described in this appellative. He is furthermore described as a man. He's got manhood thinking now. He's had that since level 2. But he loses the young that seems to want to hold him back as a man, and now gives him the wise on the front of it and says, you are a full man now. And as I told you before, if I was just thinking of this in my own little mind, that would have been the end of it. That's how I would have described the ultimate of it all. He's a wise man. But my father says, no, the ultimate is to be a man of understanding. But I digress. He's furthermore described as a man due to his continued manhood-type thinking that began in level 2 as a young man and has increased now past the point of the acute awareness of bearing the name, just like Mike was talking about, and cause and reputation of his father's business, to having the keen, discretionary, decision-making, like Katie mentioned, skills to walk circumspectly. Remember when we went over that? Where Paul talks to the saints there about walking, see that you walk circumspect. When you walk circumspect, you're on point. You have an awareness of what's in front of you, what's on the sides of you, and what's behind you, all the way to the perimeter around you. It circumscribes you. You put on Christ, and that reputation you have now is on guard. So that you walk, the wise man is a son who has gained the keen discretionary decision-making skills to walk circumspectly in the eyes of his father, in the eyes of the angels, and in the eyes of men, being on guard against any lack of temperance or self-control on his part that might make him compromise or lose his good influence. The wise man of level 3 sonship edification is a faithful and honorable son who is now fully capable and fully able to labor. I'm starting to talk about one side of the coin. In every aspect of his father's business, he can now work independently. He doesn't have to be chaperoned. He doesn't have to be under his father's watchful eye. He can work independently from his father to both run the business exactly like his father. By the way, that's the power of Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians to produce that. To both run the business exactly like his father, and if need be, he can even set up and establish a satellite of that business in a remote area. The wise man has perfected. There is, with every level and every phase of this, a perfection that occurs, a perfecting. And if you go through Romans, even in the in 1st, 2nd Corinthians and Galatians, but Ephesians, Philippians and Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, you're going to find the word perfect coming up. But it's always talking about perfection as having achieved a particular level of edification in your life, your Christian life. So the son, the wise man's son, has perfected his sonship status as to not only deal with the full dimensions of the father's business, but he's also developed a thorough and multidimensional understanding and appreciation for the enemy of the father's business, the adversary, Satan himself, and all of the wiles and tactics of attack, opposition, and resistance that the policy of evil can generate to thwart it. It's just like, again, you can go to a lot of different worlds. You know, you can go to the world of education, you go to the world of the military, but it's just like when I always hearken back to Franklin Miller, who was a Medal of Honor recipient. He was a Green Beret in Vietnam, and the very first time he was ever in a firefight, he said, "My sergeant." By the way, his sergeant's name was Sergeant Bummer, and before that expression ever got popularized, what a bummer. He had, whenever they would go out and start patrolling, whenever his sergeant would have a kill, they would always walk up to it and say, "That's a bummer." And so to him, that's what the expression, "What a bummer." He thought, what's going on? But anyway, his very first time in battle in combat, Sergeant Bummer told him, he said, "You see that stump over there? When things start getting heated, I just want you to start cranking a round off every once in a while in that stump of that tree." He thought, "Wait a minute. That doesn't sound right." He said, "You've never even heard combat before." So to get you aware of the sounds of it, the screams of it, the smell of it, the emotion of it and everything, I just don't want you shooting one of our guys by mistake. And he said, so I sat there and every once in a while, I'd just shoot this tree. Boom, I'd shoot this tree. But he said, that sergeant was a very wise man when it came to combat. And again, it's the difference between being an E4 or an E5 and you're just in there fighting an enemy, as to being an officer who has stepped back from it, a captain, for instance, who has to take an entire company, and he's got maybe 6 platoons, and he's got to make sure that one doesn't get engaged too far. He's got a lot more that he's got to think about, that those guys who are actually up there fighting, they're not thinking about that. He is. The wise man has all of that in his mind. He can fight an adversary who can come at him from ways, can be just as successful to destroy him. In the United States of America, with the kind of affluence we have today, has just as powerful tactics to destroy you in this country, right now, right where you sit, as if you were sitting in Saudi Arabia tonight trying to gather together as Christians in a country that would kill you for even naming and claiming the name of Jesus Christ as your God and your Savior. And in some ways, Satan is much more effective in the United States and a country like ours than he is in countries like China or Saudi Arabia or some of the other countries that persecute Christians. I was talking to Dennis Bray as he was here last weekend. He says, I'm telling you, Mark, we were talking about some of these guys and listening to the perversions of the gospel they were giving. You got to invite Jesus here and give him your life and give him your heart and do this and do that. And nowhere was it believe that he died for you, was buried, and arose again, and that's it. Dennis kept telling me, he says, I'm telling you, Mark, the rapture is going to be a non-event. The gospel is so perverted and so watered down today, there'll hardly be a notice that anybody's gone. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, to finish off my little summary statement, I said, therefore, by means of the effectual working of the doctrine of his Father's given him, the wise man, level 3 wise man, can both defend and protect his own conversation and reputation in the Father's business, as well as defend and protect all of the Father's business interests and ensure its successful operations against failure or loss. And I'm only saying that and drawing that out so that you realize when you get that period at the end of verse 4, there's a big distinction going on here. It's not that you need what level 3 gives you to be able to function and operate in your Father's business. He's got that. Hence, with that kind of wisdom and experience, the wise man of level 3 sonship edification is now at a point, just as in natural adoption and natural sonship education, where he naturally desires to be able to reproduce his education he has received and has been produced in his heart by his Father, that's now been imparted to his heart, and reproduce that in his own son's heart and life, or in the life of another member of, for us, the new creature of the church, the body of Christ. So that's, when it comes to what the wise man is in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, when it comes to understanding and appreciating what it means when he says a wise man will hear, that's the wise man of Proverbs 1:5. You see how you can't just crack your Bible open, grab a verse, and say, well, if you're a wise man, you're going to hear an increase. Wait a minute, what kind of a wise man? And I think that's a good exercise in getting into our thinking, how it is each one of these levels works and how the effectual working of the Father's doctrine not only produces the objective of each phase and each level, but it also effectually produces a desire. It should... I love the word generate. I use it a lot. Words generate things. And the beauty of your Bible, one of the genius things about your Bible is, God, your Heavenly Father, will, as you read through the curriculum, He will drop a concept into your understanding and to your thinking so that it begins generating. Now, He may not come back and pick that up for a while, but it's sitting there, you've been exposed to it, you've heard something, and it starts you down a particular path. And you're starting to think the way He thinks. And He's moving your thinking into the direction He wants it moved. And that's genius. And that's beyond any book that you're ever going to pull off a shelf. I don't care how great the writer is. There aren't any great ones today. But the really great writers of the English language, you're not going to find that. You're not going to find that kind of ability to weave a story together with all of those facets so that your inner man is perfectly outfitted and edified properly. Anyway, I'm just after you seeing how that what goes on in the levels and the phases actually produce the desire for what comes up next in the next level or the next phase within the level. In fact, we've come to the point in level 3 where the ability for us to define the terms used in level 3... Now, listen to this carefully... We've come to the point where the ability for us to define the terms of level 3 is more dependent upon what level 1 and level 2 of sonship edification has produced than it is dependent upon the terminology God uses to describe it. Did you get that? Let me say it again. Let me put that back up where you see the entire thing here. When you get here and you get words like wise man, hearing, increase, learning, man of understanding, wise counsels, to really define that and get the working definition, you come to level 3 to the point where the ability for us to define the terms of it is more dependent upon level 1 and level 2 and what they did in the Son and what they produce in Him than it is dependent upon the actual terminology God uses to describe it. In other words, we could do word definitions all day on these words, and we're never going to get anywhere. The wise man has to be defined by all of this. What he's going to hear is going to be defined by by all of this. Increasing learning. All of these things come up as anticipations that arise out of everything that he's gone through. Well, we're out of time, but that's a good kind of exercise for tonight. Tuesday night's good night for exercise. I don't know if that's true. I just made it up. But that's a good understanding and appreciation for what the wise man is at the beginning of level 3 of sonship edification. Does anybody have a problem with that? Or have a question about it? But that wise man is fully functional in the business, fully able to maintain and defend his reputation and his conversation. But he's now at the point where he has a son, and he's going to have to pass this on. But the wisdom is describing his abilities that were given to him from level 1 and level 2. That's what makes him the wise in the wise man. So I think now the logical thing to do next time is to recognize that he knows and recognizes that there's still a deficit in his understanding. Even though he's learned a whole bunch of things, the wise man knows, he knows what, by the way, he already knows what he needs to hear. He doesn't know what he's going to hear, but he knows the body that he needs. He knows he needs information from his father about how to reproduce this in his son. And he knows that. So, and he knows he has to have it so he can increase learning. And therefore, when we get back on Thursday night, we're going to begin looking at the next phrase, what he's going to hear and increase learning. Only instead of talking about it the way we have been, we're going to do what we did tonight. And I'm not going to go through this with you on each one of these, so you can relax. But you should come back on Thursday night with an understanding of really how to define this in terms of the table of contents and not just talking about it in general. Where the father sees what he's going to see, and he's going to say, all right, now, son, you're no longer a wise man. You're now a man of understanding. And all you need to have next is to attain unto wise counsels, and that's it. So, like I said before, we're about to the point where, oh, and after we get that defined, then what we're going to do is come to our epistles, and we're going to start looking at just some examples like we did at the end of level 1, end of level 2, and we'll finish it off with some examples of how Paul follows this curriculum. Even in level 3, he's following that with those Thessalonian saints, and that'll bring us to the end of it. We're within a few Bible classes of going back to Romans. We ought to have a party. We should. I'm not kidding. We should have a party to just celebrate the fact that we now, what we've covered since Father's Day of last year to Father's Day of this year, and what we now understand and appreciate is going on in our own edification. Well, we'll stop it right there, and we'll pick it up on Thursday night. We'll continue defining out these terms a little bit more, and then we're just going to start looking at some examples of their exhortations and their doctrines, and that'll be it. All right, with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity of studying the issue of the wise man, and more than that, to see how your word, the very curriculum, produces each one of these issues and brings about that development so that we can think in terms of that curriculum, we can follow along exactly what you're doing. Thank you again for this ability to see ahead of time the objectives of our life and how we are going to be measured by you and not by men, but what you are to expect from us as we continue to be educated by you through the effectual working of your word in our inner man. We just pray as we go this evening that we will think about these things, that we will examine them ourselves and make sure and settle the issue between us and you, and not just because we came here and heard it from a man. But we do appreciate the fact that we can carry your word with us, and not only with us, within our very hearts. We pray that that word will give us the, through the wisdom of it, guard us and guide us through all that we do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.